Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagoro.
What's up, everybody? Happy to be back here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Nathan Zagoro alongside my man, the notorious VIC.
Great to have you back.
It is great to be back, and happy Father's Day to you. Hope you had a great one.
I did.
And we'll get into all the fun and the pleasantries in a second, but we've got an exciting show today. Obviously, we're going to have some big guests for you, because why would we not come back without a big show? We're going to have, of course, Sammy Watkins, Buffalo Bills wide receiver, fourth pick in this year's draft. Talk to us at around 1:30. But we're going to kick things off right now with two very, very prestigious and important guests from the WWE. Number one, Cleveland's own The Miz. And we're also joined by Hornswoggle as well here. A Packers fan. Wouldn't even take any Browns gear. But we won't hold that against them here as we kick things off on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. But gentlemen, in town for Raw tonight. What's going on?
I don't know if I think we should keep this a secret that I'm even here. Green Bay Packers might disown me.
No, definitely. You're definitely here.
You're
supporting the Cleveland Browns, and that is wonderful. That's something that your Packers fans should really appreciate.
We appreciate our team, but also, you know, we have to appreciate your guys' team as well.
Exactly. You better appreciate our team.
Rich tradition and history between them. Miz, it is so great to see you, my friend.
It is great to see you as well. It's amazing. You know, when I was downstairs with Nathan at 2 minutes to do this show, Nathan was like, "Nah, I'll get up there about a minute two, and then I'll just go." He has all this talent, but he just sits there and he just lollygags.
Who has everything prepped for him though? We
walk in the Dog Bowl and you have all the papers set up, the show listing, everything that's going on. Nathan's setting up while you guys are going. So I'm like, what's going on, Nathan?
Old school, new school mentality to broadcasting. You got Monday Night Raw tonight.
We do. We have Monday Night Raw over at the Q. So it's always exciting to come back to Cleveland, Ohio. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know if I'm coming back yet. So we'll see. Time will tell. Nobody knows what Hornswoggle will be doing. I am a movie star. Just got done filming the Marine Four Moving Target over in Vancouver. So it was a lot of fun. Had a great time. A lot of fight scenes. A lot of guns. A lot of action. So it's definitely something to look forward to in 2015.
His one movie he did this year compared to my two.
Look at you.
There it is. How about that? Well, it's good to see you guys have already started off gang up on me. Vegas had the over-under on gang ups at 2.5, so we're well on our way there. So that's good. It's good to know. What I want to talk to you about right now, though, is the Browns. You ran to Miles Austin downstairs. You're talking about the buzz. So as somebody who's around the world all the time, not necessarily in Cleveland, how's it feel to be back in Cleveland, your hometown, and the sense of the buzz around the Browns that you have?
Every time I come home to Cleveland, I always try to make it here to the headquarters just to feel the buzz, feel the energy. And every year, it's that same energy. But this year, I honestly really do feel, and every year I feel like I say this, there's just a different energy this year. There's something about it. There's an attitude. There's a, you know, this play like a Brown mentality is really affecting, I think, the whole city. And whether you're a Browns fan all over the world, it's affecting you there as well. And I absolutely love it. Like, you know, going into the draft, I didn't know how the Browns were going to do, because honestly, when we traded down, I was throwing things on set. I was on the set of Marine Four and I was throwing things. I was like, "You're getting me. You're trading down again. We always trade down. Why are we not getting Sammy Watkins? I wanted
Sammy."
That's
who you wanted.
Because I came on the show before and you guys asked me, who did I want? I said, I want Johnny Manziel, but the thing is, I don't think Johnny Manziel will be available at that time, so I think we're going to get Sammy Watkins. So what happens? At 4, we have Johnny Manziel and Sammy Watkins still on the board. I'm like, oh my God, we got him. And then we trade down. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. So then Sammy Watkins go off the board. Then we get Gilbert, and I'm like, all right, we got a quarterback. We need a quarterback. Yeah. We need a quarterback. I want that franchise player. So then we go all the way down to 22, and we finally get our quarterback. And then I look back at the first round, and I go, oh, my God. Not only did we get a 2015 first-round draft pick, we got a top cornerback and a top quarterback in the first round. Success. Huge success.
Great success.
And a fourth-rounder as part of that deal as well.
That's right.
Let me ask you this. Ohio Business Machine's topics of the day. We know this obvious one. You just brought up Johnny Manziel. I know you're a big proponent of his, and not just because of what you think he can bring to the field, but you like the personality. You like the persona.
I like the hype.
You like the hype. All right, so that hype seems to get a boost every weekend, right? Every weekend.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
There's something new. And the latest is Johnny with a video that has him
talking into money,
using a
baby.
Stack of money as a phone.
Yo, now, I can't hear you over the amount of money I have in my hand. I can't hear. That's awesome.
I predict that you would love this, but I do want your thought about it, because the other side of this, and there's been kind of mixed reaction that on the airwaves here today on KNR. Is there any line that's crossed by that by a player when he hasn't played in the NFL down, and when the whole thing is fans who would sort of like not love the fact that a player who is maybe talking more about the cash than the football?
We drafted him, man. Like, if you draft a guy, you know what you're drafting when you get Johnny Manziel. You know the hype train's coming to Cleveland.
Right.
And let's face it. No one's talking more. Everyone's talking more about Cleveland than they ever had before. And that's what I love. It's bringing attention to the Cleveland Browns. Whether it's negative or positive, it's attention. And I love attention. So the fact is, Johnny Manziel is the man. The dude works hard. He plays hard. And even before a down, that's fine. The dude's a millionaire. The dude is going to be a multi-millionaire, and he's young. He's having fun. He's enjoying his life. Let him enjoy his life. Let him have fun, and hopefully he brings that hardcore mentality that he brought to Texas A&M, because let's face it, he was a success at Texas A&M, and I think he's going to be a success in the Cleveland Browns.
I will say Johnny Manziel comes very much off like the Miz in football, but he's actually athletic.
That's real cute. Thank you. Thank you very much, Hornswoggle. I appreciate
like that.
It.
Making the you comments just, count.
Friend,
that was good. Yeah.
My friend.
Bravo.
My friend Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle dropping it. You know, this is my take on it. And obviously we'll talk about that a lot, I'm sure, during the show. It'll be, as you said, it's the Ohio Business Machine's hot topic of the day. It's a different era that we live in. The bottom line is, your guy Jim Kelly in Buffalo. Willie Joe Namath, okay? Bernie Kosar in the 80s. I'm sure if there was a camera that could take videos of these guys at every moment, anywhere they went in the 80s, there would be a lot of this stuff. It's just a new kind of an
era. It would
era.
Make this stuff look pretty tame.
Yeah, it'd be like, it'd look like child's play.
Yeah.
Listen, I thought it was hilarious. It's Johnny being Johnny. He's got to deliver on the field. This one maybe was not the best look of the three that I've seen. This would probably have been my least favorite of the three that we've seen. Partying in Vegas, great. I love it. I love Vegas. You know, I've had some great times in Vegas. No problem with that. Who doesn't want to be on an inflatable swan? Let's be honest. That looked like a great time. This one maybe I could see rub a few people the wrong way. But as long as he performs, I don't care. But it's a new era. Social media, not the friend of John.
My question
football.
With the look is it putting – is there an in-your-face in any way for, again, a fan base that obviously wants this to work with everybody wearing brown and orange, but is there a sense that, hey, come on, this is about – isn't this about us and less about you going into it? We want to root for you. Are you putting a little something in our faces here that you've got this – privilege, you've got this, the wherewithal. I mean, I think, isn't there, you know this better than any of us in this room, how you can carry yourself in a way that endears you to a public that knows you are obviously reaping great rewards for what you do.
Yeah, I understand that, and I get it, but the thing is, when nobody understands what it's like to be a football player. Nobody understands what it's like to be a WWE superstar. Nobody understands what it'd be like to be in the NBA. So only they know what it's like. So if they work as hard as they do for 7-8 days and they want to take 2 days to like cool off, relax, some people cool off and relax in different ways. And this is his way to let his everything release, get it all out there, and then come back to the play field and literally be regenerized, rejuvenated, and say, all right, let's go. Because, I mean, maybe that's his way to relax and get out there, enjoy his friends, enjoy his life, enjoy his family. And, you know, that's just the way he does it.
And let's not forget, when you're 21, 22 years old, you can go party, and you're fine the next day.
You don't get hangovers anymore.
You're fine. So if you want to party, then you wake up and you do your work. You're going to be fine. Of course, we're talking here with WWE superstars The Miz and the man who stole the show at Extreme Rules from the WLC, Mr. Hornswoggle. Yes.
I got to say, I live by any media is good media, because it gets you talking and gets people talking about it. It gets coverage now to the Cleveland Browns even more than Johnny Manziel just coming to the team.
And there's something about that. You know, you brought up Jim Kelly. You brought up the quarterbacks of that era, Namath. I think there's something that certain individuals relish about upping the ante for them. The more you do that, right? The more you do that, the more you say and do away from the game, just puts more pressure that you invite onto yourself. But I think this is exactly the way he wants it. This is like when you get the payoff's going to be huge. So build up a level of haters, build up a level of those who say, okay, back this up on the field, and I think that's the challenge this guy eats up.
You're talking to a guy who embraces haters every day, all day, because let's face it, no matter how much you are beloved, no matter how much people love you and enjoy you, there's always going to be those people on Twitter and Facebook that are just slamming you. And so he's the type of person that I think literally says, welcome. Come on. Give him to me. I'm letting you have it.
He strikes me from my conversations with him and just being around him a little bit, and I think you hit the nail on the head, as somebody who likes the fact that he's going to get this publicity, get the negative, and put more pressure on himself to perform, because he fully believes in his ability to perform, and performing in the face of this will be even more satisfying to him, I think, ultimately, than if he just came here and sat around and was a little choir boy, John Football, and did everything that people wanted him to do when he's out there being a little bit of a...
I like that he's not a robot. He's exactly who he was at Texas A&M. He's coming into the Cleveland Browns being exactly who he is, so you know who you're getting. You're falling in love with a guy that you know who he is, rather than this paper cutout of what the Browns want him to be. And I honestly think that the coaches actually like him. I mean, they actually believe in him and think, you know what? You know, if this kid's going to do what he wants to do, let him do it. And let him come back to the Browns and have fun.
Well, let me ask you a question this, though, because this is, you have a very unique ability to relate to this or put perspective on this. When you first came in the WWE, you were not as well-liked in the locker room as I'm sure you would have liked to have been. And so you were dealing with veterans who were resentful of your path to the WWE, and how does that affect you ultimately? Because, you know, we're hearing when we'll talk about Paul Kruger's comments today.
I was just going to bring up, because we got the sound bites of those Paul Kruger commenting on
people K-Fan, are starting to get tired. I think
that he's tired of hearing about Manziel, and that Brian Hoyer is, quote, my guy. So it's one thing to talk about this as a conversation among those of us on the outside and public media. But teammates is a different kind of
deal. But is that Manziel's fault? I mean, is it his fault that he's getting all the attention? That when someone asks Paul Kruger, hey, how about Manziel? I mean, obviously, he's going to get tired of it because he wants to talk about his team and everybody else. So, I mean, obviously, he's going to get tired. But that's not Manziel's fault.
Let's hear what Paul Kruger had to say about Johnny Manziel and the quarterback situation of the Browns.
In my mind, Hoyer's the guy. Hoyer came in, won us four games. Unfortunately, got hurt, but the guy was on fire when he was healthy. And
okay, I think that's.
But Hoyer is the guy. Yeah. Like Hoyer, right now, everyone from everything I've read on all the blogs, on all the everything that everyone's been written about Cleveland Browns, that Hoyer is so much more far advanced than Johnny Manziel. But Johnny Manziel has that playmaking ability. I'm thinking Hoyer's going to start right off the bat, because let's face it, he can get his reads faster. He knows the playbook a lot more. And let's let the rookie sit down and watch, you know, the pro football like play, and then wait until he's ready. And that's what I like whenever they wait instead of just throwing a rookie out there.
If you're ready, you're ready. Yeah. To me, it depends what happens when they come back here July 26th, training camp starts, and we see what happens. Because I think one thing that you and I have both seen, Johnny Manziel can make big plays, and he did it pretty much every day in practice. Now, does he have a lot of bad plays to go with those great plays? Sure, he's inconsistent. He's young. But this is a guy who has an opportunity to, I think, when he gets mentally near Hoyer, physically take over. But that's going to be the question. How quickly can he get there? And then that's going to ask people to say, well, when he's out there holding stacks of money to his head and acting like it's a phone where he can't hear people, is he doing all he can to learn what he needs to? And I still say he should be able to have fun.
That'll show up one way or another on the field. I'm not going to make the connection between that sort of video or videos in Vegas around inflatable swans and he's not trying, he's not caring, because I don't think you get to be what he was even at the collegiate level without really putting something into it and without caring. And I don't think anyone within the team that I know of, players up to the last time I checked in on this a couple of weeks ago with some veteran guys asking that question, what's it like with this guy in the locker room? What's it like with him in the meeting room? Feedback's been positive. Feedback being, no, he's engaged. He's asking the questions. Seems to be every bit as into this as anyone else.
And he's quiet here. That's what everybody says.
And he's, right, his demeanor, it's not a boastful, right, bloviating kind of thing. Now, that all said, you like bloviating? That all said, you're right about what you've read and what Nathan and I have seen on a practice field each day. It's obvious where Brian Hoyer is in terms of ahead of Manziel, and putting him number one on the depth chart going into camp is a no-brainer. He's not going to make, I would think right now it's fair to say, he's not going to make as many mistakes, and this whole approach is about minimizing mistakes, at least at the start with Win with defense first, win with running game. You want some big plays, but I think right now no one's going to ask the quarterback to be that guy. They're going to ask him to be the guy who doesn't make mistakes or minimizes them. Hoyer gives you your best chance for that.
Absolutely, I agree. And especially with the season that we have, the beginning of the season is pretty tough. I mean, what do we got? We got
at Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, those are three tough games. So you don't want mistakes in those type of games because those mistakes are going to cost you a ton. Like whenever you got Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, or Joe Flacco going up against you, you want a quarterback that's not going to make mistakes. Now, I know what you're about to say.
Don't you feel like Johnny Football wants to go into Pittsburgh, start his career in Pittsburgh, and somehow win and just have everything just go crazy?
Of course he does. Of course.
Wouldn't that be a big celebration?
It would be great.
But can you feel safe? Right now, do you want to toss the keys to him? Yet. Are you ready to toss the keys?
No, I have Brian Hoyer at the top of my depth chart, but I agree with what Mike Penn said, that the lead is not insurmountable.
Right.
Because the physical flashes that you get from Johnny are tantalizing and
they're
exciting.
Significant. Yeah, you notice
we can
those.
Talk all we want, but until preseason comes, that's when we're really going to see what Manziel really has and if he can play in the NFL or if he's going to succeed or fail.
He can play in the NFL.
That's our franchise quarterback right there.
As a Packers fan, though, you saw a situation where you had a legend in Brett Favre and the first round pick in Aaron Rodgers, so it was natural. If you were a Packers fan when you drafted Aaron Rodgers and you had a guy who had, you know, started less than five games in his career, would you be clamoring for the young gun, or how would you play that out?
Man, that's a tough situation because you have Johnny Manziel. Coming to NFL, it's a totally different situation than college football, period.
Yep, for sure.
It's totally different, so you never know who to go with in that situation, and you never know if you can fully trust this young gun in that situation.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got WWE stars in our studio here. We love this. We, of course, Nathan Zagura back, and we are rocking and rolling on our big topics here, the Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day. So Johnny Manziel, there's a video out there, and he's basically using a stack of a wad of bills, and we're not
an impressive
sure
stack how big of
are
money.
Are they dollars? Yes, somebody impressive. Suggested they might all be ones. I'm not sure.
They're definitely not ones.
Okay, we think they're hundreds, maybe.
They got to be hundreds.
You hope so.
If he's at a Drake's
like celebration, and he's hanging out with Drake and them, you know he's not going to just put ones. Well, you got to have hundreds.
Here's the we've got Jason Gibbs, our producer, has got the audio from the video.
Boy.
Let's and I think this is the radio awesome. Edited. Version, but let's listen right now.
Yo, Clarence, I can't hear.
We can't hear you.
There's too much money in my hand.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. I'll call you back.
He's gonna call you back, man. He'll call you back.
Courteous at the end. I can't hear you right now.
Yeah,
we'll reconnect. We'll reconnect at a more convenient time.
I'll call you later.
For sure.
Like I said, this is something that Miz, you would exactly do. This is exactly something.
When I was his age, I was doing that type of thing.
For
I mean,
sure.
Like, we were talking about when I first came to WWE and what it was like. It's like I didn't want to be the corporate robot. I was going to be who I am and who I was, and got me kicked out of the locker room.
But you
it
changed.
Got me kicked out of the locker room.
And you changed the game too in your world, right?
Absolutely.
You influenced some culture change there.
I hope so. And it was one of those situations where I got kicked out of the locker room. Nobody in the locker room liked me.
Talk about wait a minute, kicked out. What does that mean? Tell me.
Thrown out of the locker room. I was not allowed to change or shower or go to the bathroom in the locker room.
Were you there at this time, Hornswoggle? Did you tolerate this?
No, it was right. Before you got there. Yeah.
Okay. Can you name names?
No, JBL. We're not going to name names.
Okay, all right.
But thanks to Nathan. But we're not going to name names. But the fact is, it's like I got kicked out of the locker room. I was not liked by the veterans because I was a reality star coming into the WWE. And WWE is like a kind of fraternity. And so going in there, I was like, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be who I am and allow, I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to try to learn as much as I possibly can and dissect the minds of all the veterans. But it's just some situations happen where some people don't like you and you get kicked out. And then you have to show respect and you have to basically work your way back into that locker room. And not only that, but you have to prove yourself in the WWE ring. And finally, after, 3 years, I ended up main eventing WrestleMania 27 and winning the WWE Championship and retaining it at the biggest event that WWE has. So, is this Johnny Manziel's fate? That's what I'm hoping.
Well given your accomplishment, is it different now? Are the relationships different from maybe those that you remember who weren't so cool?
The locker
about
room's completely changed, wouldn't you say? I mean,
yeah. I don't see anyone getting kicked out anymore unless they do something real messed up.
Yeah.
But
how messed up could it be in your world? What's a messed up thing that would get you kicked out now?
Going in people's bags, stealing, thieving, that
Ooh,
kind
geez.
Of thing. Yeah.
Thievery.
Yeah. But like Miz said and like you guys said, I mean, if Johnny Manziel is coming off to the players as totally okay and totally fine, that's what matters. In the end, that's what matters. It, you know, he can do these videos on the weekends, go to Vegas, do the stack of money video. But if he's coming off to the players as he wants to be here, in reality, that's what matters.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that has been very consistent from everybody we've talked to, from coaches down to players, that when he's here in the building, he's all business, studying all the time, asking the right questions in the meetings.
For sure.
Quiet, kind of unassuming in a sense. And when you were going through that, were you, you know, I know who you are, obviously, outside of the building. Were you? Did you try to just kind of do your job in the building and
Absolutely.
Be quiet and go through? And,
in the, right. When I was in the building, I was always very respectful. I'd always try to learn as much as possible because I wanted to be the best I possibly could be in that WWE ring. I wanted to entertain the millions all over the world. And so I was definitely knowledgeable. Not only that, but I was studying, you know, when I wasn't even in the ring. I was outside the ring, you know, looking at videotapes, watching people, watching how they move, how they work, different moves, different maneuvers. And so I was that guy. So, but then I'd also play hard, you know,
because it's,
you want to live your life. You don't want to look back on your life and go, man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. You want to do everything you possibly could have done. So you work hard, you play hard.
It's just such an interesting era, though, truly. I mean, I can say this
from
my own
personal life. By the way, back
but
then, we didn't have camera phones.
That's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean? So yeah. When I was on The Real World, there was no camera phones. There was no, you know, videotapes and that kind of stuff. TMZ wasn't around.
Right.
So
if there was a camera, it was a giant thing on a guy's shoulder, and you knew it was in the room.
I think everyone would have been a lot. But the thing is, I think my friends would have been very made sure that nothing would have gotten out for me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure.
If my friend is taking a videotape of me, I know he's not going to go send it out into the internet unless I say he can.
That's the problem, though. You could look like you're looking at your phone right now, and I could be videotaping you right now.
But you
now,
wouldn't you know? Do that because
no,
you're my friend.
I wouldn't do it, but I'm saying anybody in a crowd where you're in a social setting, that's what's so tough for these kids nowadays. And it really is. There are things that I guarantee.
That video was
things
close up, man. It's
yes.
Not, you know, Manziel right. Basically said, you can put
go
that
ahead,
on.
For
go
sure.
Ahead. I don't care.
I'm just
no,
saying, there are plenty of things in my life that I've done in public places
you're
that
you're always
I'm glad
on,
are not on
You're
video.
Always on. You have to assume you're always on camera.
Always.
Always. Even in here, in this building, anywhere.
That's why I dress this
camera. Exactly. This is fascinating stuff, and how you compare it to the different era, the bygone era. And yeah, I'm shuddering to think of some of the things that I saw with my eyes but did not record with any, because there weren't any smartphones around with the various people or those who were around us with the legends of the game, the Hall of Famers like Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, so forth. And yet today I think of Jim, who was fighting the battle of his life with cancer, and how that story is being told almost exclusively through social media. His daughters, his wife,
yeah,
have been using that forum to give people a sense of being with Jim through this journey, through this incredible journey. And, you know, and I'd like to say that lately I've heard better things about it.
Good.
So we're encouraged, and we pray for him. But I, to use a contrast here, that's a guy that obviously it didn't exist when he was playing. I just wonder, going back in the day, what it would have been like had Jim or those around him made his off-field life a social media world. It would have been incredible. I mean,
it kind of sucks, though, because it's like when a person wants to celebrate the, like things that they truly are happy about, they're kind of like, yes, yes, yes. Oh, wait, is there anyone taking a picture? Is there anyone? It,
right.
It ruins
yeah.
the moment for them
yeah,
because
yeah.
it's like they're so worried about what kind of picture, because anyone can take a picture and you can have a drink and it's like you didn't even drink it. You just held it up and it's like, oh, he's out drinking and partying all night. And it's like, wait a second. I just held this for like 1 second and you basically caught
and
it.
And as guys get older,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. As these players get older.
Take a picture like you're having the most awesome moment of your life right now.
Yeah.
One of
yeah.
those pictures.
As these,
ah!
players, yeah. as these players get older and now they're interested in things like politics and they express those views via social media. Now all the pushback they get. When they were in their 20s, when they didn't talk about politics.
No.
Now, you know, in their 40s and 50s, that matters too. And when they use social media to express that, the pushback, they're into full-out arguments. I can tell you, Thurman Thomas, one of the most conservative Republicans I know, he's the Hall of Fame running back for the Bills, he gets into some fierce engagements on social media. And he was the guy who was always the kind, I mean, he was always like going back and forth with us as the media covering that team, and he'd have his game face on Monday before Sunday game. I mean, that's the way Thurman had it. But now it's about different topics. And again, it's the personalities, you're right, it reacting to, in a younger generation, a guy like Johnny, showing that he's loving life, and I think it's okay until it's not okay. And what I mean by that is it won't be okay if the on-field stuff doesn't match the hype. And that's sure. There's only one way for him to go. There's no, we know the middle will be a loss. Bottom or the middle is a loss. Everything for him has got to be top end or nothing.
I agree.
I think that's what he's. That's what's been set up by him and by the
talent that can do that. Yeah. And I think what Nathan to go on what Nathan was saying. I think he does put that pressure upon himself so he can actually say, you know what, I have to do this. I have to be the best. I have to be the number one quarterback for the Browns, not only for the Browns but for the entire NFL. And I'm going to put this amount of pressure on myself to basically make myself be this guy. I need to be.
Couldn't agree more. I know you guys have to get going, folks.
If we
you
do.
If you are don't have your tickets yet, get them tonight at the Q. WWE Raw, 8 o'clock is when it starts. Tonight at the Q, go out there, see The Miz, see Hornswoggle, all the WWE superstars. I'll be there, of course. Looking forward to it, gentlemen, and appreciate you guys coming by and spending some time with us here on CBD.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. You guys are awesome.
Loving it. All right, we got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, a Football Monday, 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you. Sammy Watkins is going to be calling in, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, who's going to promote the Hall of Fame game coming up in Canton where the Bills are playing there. All right, stick around for more. ESPN 850, WKNR.